Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder and CEO of That Healing Feeling, where we show you how to become a self-healer of mind, body, and spirit through nervous system regulation. Join me and thousands of my other students as I dive into the world of neuroscience, subconscious programming, energetics, and radical self-love. In this podcast, you will learn that your body and mind are meant to heal, and that under the right circumstances, we can experience miraculous healing by leveraging our own internal infrastructure. Let me guide you as we challenge preconceived notions and outdated narratives and dive into the empowering world of self-healing. My intention is that you leave this podcast full of hope and actionable tools. So without further ado, let's dive in. From surviving to thriving, I really feel like I've experienced the full spectrum of nervous system pendulum potential. I've been so anxious that I had to have an injection in my leg to slow down my heart rate. I've been so depressed that I couldn't get out of bed for almost 6 months when I was 16 and nearly didn't finish school. And now I've done the work, and I've realized that it's trauma that manifests in chronic illness if we do not release it from the body. This is why I created my Trauma Release Transformation course for you. I want to get this message out there. You don't have to use talk therapy to release trauma. You can do so much work on your own. You don't have to relive your pain. And in doing this work, you'll heal your chronic illness. My free 3-part mini-series was written to help you identify your exact trauma response, release it through integrating the psyche, and also through simple somatic work that releases trauma from your body. You'll get personalized assessments based on your behavior to guide you through the program. If you have chronic symptoms, you need this free course. Make sure to click on the link in the show notes and get your seat today. Well, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much to those of you who are here for the first time and those of you who showed up to the last live recording. We have been talking a lot about trauma at That Healing Feeling lately. We've sort of been peppering the feed, TikTok, Instagram, email list. I really, 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 really want to empower you with a new lens when it comes to looking at trauma, looking at anxiety, looking at fatigue, looking at chronic symptoms. And today in particular, as I record this live podcast for you, which is like my new thing now, just connecting with you in real time feels so much more personal. My intention for those of you who are watching this with me today is that you consider the possibility that you are not broken and that you have the same capacity to heal your body as I do or anyone else who has healed. That is my intention for those of you who are watching. And if you take anything from my podcast today, I hope that you leave with a new sort of like fire underneath that is igniting this new perspective on your capacity for healing. I really don't want there to be a narrative that you think that's something that someone else does, because that's something that you do, can do, and will do if you continue to stay on this journey, one foot in front of the other. So today we're going to touch on trauma, and we're going to talk specifically, right? So we're really niching down about the link between trauma, anxiety, and fatigue. Now, I picked anxiety and fatigue because these are two really common symptoms that my clients come in with. And I honestly personally feel, as someone who experienced chronic illness for so long, that anxiety and fatigue tend to come with like pretty much every diagnosis or any set of symptoms. Now, I have lots of podcasts and trainings that talk about why this is the case, but today specifically, we are going to talk about those in relation to trauma, okay? So I'm going to tie it all together for you, hopefully in a way that's really easy to digest. Now, what I want to do specifically is on the last episode, we talked about trauma and I did a really big deep dive. So like if you weren't here for the last live, make sure that you are subscribed to my email list because tomorrow I'm releasing it via my email list and via my podcast. And so that is a really good one for you if you're like, okay, I wasn't here last time. I don't remember. I don't really have an understanding of what trauma is. Fine. But let's get into it. So first and foremost, we're going to define trauma, and we're going to define cortisol, adrenaline, and fatigue. So trauma, what it is and what it's not. So there is a narrative out there that trauma is a huge event in your life that you will remember, that you can describe, that changes the trajectory of your life forevermore. False. It can be, but it is often not the case. So first, it's really important to understand that trauma has nothing to do with the magnitude of the event, okay? Trauma has everything to do with your capacity to process and release that event. Those are two very different things. And notice how in teaching this, what I'm doing, and this is really important, notice what I'm doing. I'm giving you this internal locus of control, right? What I mean is, it's not about your external environment. It's about your internal environment. Everything that I teach is about altering your internal environment so that you feel empowered to make a sustainable change regardless of your circumstances. So trauma is not defined by the magnitude of the event. It's defined by your capacity to process an event, which means that trauma is different for everyone, right? We see a lot of trauma in childhood because you probably guessed it. You don't really have a very developed capacity, right, for processing big events when you're a child. So oftentimes, childhood is where we experience a lot of our trauma. So it can be something like your parents get divorced, you know, your grandparents die, abuse. These things are very much traumatic experiences. But what people aren't talking about, which is equally as important, believe it or not, is that trauma is also your best friend writing a note about you, right? Or liking the same person as you and it hurting your feelings, or not being invited to a birthday party, or your parents telling you that you were, you know, too excitable, or whatever it is, right? So anything that was too painful, too overwhelming for you to internalize, process, and release gets stored as a trauma. So this is a very like basic understanding of what is trauma. Okay. So I want this to get the wheels turning for you. Like, okay, so maybe, you know, it is more than just event or than this one event, or maybe actually I have experienced this. And actually I'm going to go rogue. Okay. And say that everyone has experienced trauma, right? Because like nobody's just like had the lived in like a cushioned life, right? We go into the world and we learn through these experiences of encountering a situation that feels really big for us, right? And then we don't really know how to deal with it. And it's kind of stamped in our mind forever. And we can subconsciously bring that situation up and really feel those memories, even though it might seem like a seemingly small thing to us now. At the time, it was a big thing, okay? And so this is also why two people can be in the same situation and one person experiences trauma and the other doesn't. So then I want to really bring your attention to the fact that actually ensuring that you no longer experience trauma in your life. So of course, we're going to talk about addressing that trauma, but also sustainability. So moving forward means not just releasing the trauma that's stored, but then developing those resources to be able to process any future events, right? And so now, yes, we all live in the real world, right? Like you and I, we are here in the real world. Shit happens, right? It is not a perfect place. But we don't have to be traumatized by it. We are in control of how we process, what meaning we give to events. And that internal narrative, that internal locus of control, you are in charge of. And so this is how you can move forward with ease in your life and the capacity to stay regulated. And you don't have to fall into that category of like, but what about this? Or what about that? But she keeps saying that and he keeps doing that. And what about what's going on in this part of the world and that part of the world? And how could I possibly stay regulated? Guess what? Today, you know, it's not about them. It's about what's inside here. So we're focused on developing those tools. So that is a really brief like snippet of what is trauma and switching that narrative to actually we are in control of whether or not we experience trauma, believe it or not. We are in control. We decide. We keep the peace. We keep the regulation. So before I move on to then what the hell does that have to do with anxiety? What does it have to do with chronic fatigue? Let's talk a little bit about some of the hormones that are involved and are at play when it comes to stress. Okay. So I'm using the word stress because I think for so many of us, trauma and stress, those words and concepts are very synonymous with each other. Like as if you're calm when you're experiencing trauma, right? Like we experience stress when we experience trauma. So two of these hormones I really want you to keep an eye on and I want you to be aware of if you experience anxiety or fatigue are cortisol and adrenaline, okay? So you know me, I always bring this back to science. I think that science demystifies the spiritual, energetics, quantum healing realm. And so I like to bring it back to what our brains are familiar with so we can go ahead and integrate this information in a way that is going to be impactful for us. So that is why I'm bringing in cortisol and adrenaline. And I'm explaining it to you because we all relate to this. We all know that this is true. And so what happens when we experience trauma? So our body, and if you're, you know, if you've been here for more than basically 30 seconds, you know I'm all about the nervous system. So when we experience trauma, something very impactful happens in the nervous system. What you might ask me, or you might be saying, we go into a fight or flight response, right? So what happens is if we're in a traumatic situation, right? Whether it is actually that a bear is about to attack us, whether it is actually that someone, you know, we got a call that someone got in a car accident that we love, whether it's actually having a fire in our school, or whether it's actually getting pushed on the playground, or whether it's actually not getting a text back from the person that we like. Whatever it is, when we perceive this event as trauma, our nervous system mobilizes the energy within as though it is life or death. Now, we talked about this on the last podcast, so I'm going to repeat myself and saying, please go back and listen to that if you haven't, because this really contextualizes this series, if you will, right? But when we are in this situation and the body thinks, oh my God, this is life or death, right? It goes into survival. So we call this fight or flight, or in a more scientific way, the sympathetic nervous system. And when we are in this place, like I said earlier, our body mobilizes all of our resources to help us fight, right? Literally fight, like sending the energy, the blood to our extremities so we can fight, to our jaw so we can bite, or flight. So literally run, right? This is how in a primitive way we were able to keep ourselves alive and survive. So our body is like, holy shit, we are in a traumatic situation. We need to mobilize energy to survive. It bumps up adrenaline. Now, you know what adrenaline is. Every one of you have experienced this because it is part of being human, right? And the feeling of adrenaline, what does it feel like? Heart rate beating like this, right? Palms getting a bit sweaty, pupils dilate, all that good stuff. So that is mobilized energy. It is like an injection of energy so that we can go ahead and deal with this life or death situation. If a bear is coming to attack us, if we're in a car accident, if it is life or death, this is so resourceful, so fantastic, so important. Thank God we have evolved with this very resourceful mobilization of energy, right? In this day and age, when we are constantly bombarded with what we perceive as life or death situations physiologically, right? So we talked about this. It doesn't have to be life or death, right? If we can't process this event and we store it, our body thinks it's life or death, even if it is not getting a text back from someone we like, even if it is getting made fun of on the playground. And so our body's going to mobilize this energy. Adrenaline is going to surge and cortisol as well. So cortisol is more of a long-term response. Adrenaline is more of that like quick boost. And I was trying to think of like a metaphor earlier. And I was thinking like, do you know if you're playing a video game, right? And you press something to give yourself a boost and it's like, and it gives you that boost to like fly up away from someone. That's adrenaline, but in real life, right? So you only have so much adrenaline. Like you have a limited amount of these boosts in your video game. It's the same thing in as being a human being. Like you only have so much, okay? But you can use it in the way that you use it in a video game to bump yourself up or fly above something that's gonna eat you or whatever. You do the same thing with adrenaline. You can use it in real life to get extra energy, what you need to survive this situation. But crucially, there is a limited amount of adrenaline. And and the same thing with cortisol. So these are the two kind of key players, right? And so what's happening now? We live in this world, right, that is increasingly not designed for our primitive, and I am going to use the word primitive, bodies and primitive minds. So our world is evolving so fast from every angle, population-wise, technologically, and even from a society standpoint, evolving, right? As a reflection in many ways of our intelligence. However, our physiology and our neurology is not caught up to the stimuli that we have in this day and age. What is the result? The result is that we are giving ourselves too much information too fast, and we can't process it. We can't sit down and work through these emotions in the way that our neurological infrastructure demands. And so we're storing it as trauma in the body, right? So we're storing this, you know, being hit, for example. Let me just give you an example. And don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here and like hating on technology. I love technology if used properly with an awareness of what I'm teaching you. I think it's so amazing because I'm able to sit here and give you this information and vice versa in so many ways. But let me use it as well as an example of what's happening. For example, we are on social media, we're watching the news, we're watching anything on demand, and we're consistently being hit with information that is going on. Someone has, you know, this bad thing happened and this bad thing happened and this bad thing happened. And just every time you scroll, every time you click, something bad has happened, right? We did not evolve with the capacity to digest that many bad things in one day, right? When we were evolving, we didn't have phones, we didn't have social media, we didn't, fine. So yes, of course, we were much less evolved, but at the same time, as we were evolving into who we are today, our capacity for digesting bad news, and when you're listening, I'm sort of doing the like air quotes, was once a week, right? Max, think about it. You lived in your community, one thing happened, but we all went around that person, we supported that person, we loved on that person, we had a sense of community. Yes, maybe there was a tragedy once a year, but we processed it together in our communities. We were there for each other, we sat, we meditated, we were connected to the earth, blah, 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 and we released. And now the world has evolved so quickly that we have not caught up. And so we're being hit with all this information. We're being put in these social settings that are moving so quick, so fast, no time to process, no time to discuss, no time to think. And we're experiencing a series of traumas. So actually, and I'm saying this knowing that some people don't agree with this, but I believe very much as the sort of thread that runs through the infrastructure of everything I teach, that trauma is something that everyone is dealing with because of what I've explained with you today. So this is where we are. We're dealing with all these traumas because we are living in a society in many ways that we are not designed yet to live in. We can evolve to get there as well as change aspects of the society. But I think awareness is the first step, okay? So then we're storing all these traumas. When we think about these traumas, when something reminds us of these traumas, when we're triggered, we're releasing adrenaline, we're releasing cortisol. Now remember, adrenaline and cortisol, these are limited resources. In general, you know, the energy in our body is limited. Like we have to go to sleep, replenish, wake up, give, go to sleep, replenish, wake up, give, da 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 da. And that cycle kind of keeps us going, right? Keeps us grounded, keeps us balanced. When we get anxiety, when we get fatigue, and that cycle isn't replenishing and nourishing us, we've used too many of our limited resources, and now we're stuck in what we call an anxiety epidemic, a fatigue epidemic. How many clients come to me with chronic fatigue syndrome or anxiety? I was earlier doing a production video for something similar, and I said 50% of my clients who come to me because of anxiety. 50%. I've helped thousands of people. Okay. And this is my small corner of the internet, but this is so impactful because we know the root of this anxiety is everything that is stored inside of us that's dysregulating the nervous system. And this is what brings me back to my initial intention for you that I want to revisit, because some of you weren't on here earlier, or if you were, you might have forgotten because I've said a lot. And my intention for you and everything that I'm teaching and always teaching is for you to consider the possibility that you are not broken. You don't quote unquote have anxiety. You don't quote unquote have fatigue, right? You have the same capacity to heal and regulate that I do and that anyone else who's done this work has. So that's my intention for you and what I'm teaching you to hear, what I'm teaching you here and how I'm sort of framing trauma, why we store trauma, why we're where we are today. It's relationship with the physiology and the neurology of our bodies and our minds. And that brings me to my next point. Here's the next thing that I think is so freaking important to understand. And this is really, really going to drive home the point that you are not broken. You are not anxious. You are not just fatigued. You are not someone who just like has a chronic illness. You are whole. There's a version of you that is healed. You just need to get past this little bump of releasing unregulated to get there. You are nothing but that. That is the ultimate truth, okay? What happens when you experience trauma? Let's get into it. Your brain structure changes. The behaviors that you're experiencing right now are a reflection of your neural pathways and the way that your brain has changed based off your experiences. And your brain and your pathways impact your physiology. If you're experiencing physical symptoms in the body, consider the possibility that it starts in the brain, which informs the nervous system. And that's really freaking important as well. So exposure to trauma, especially in childhood, which is when we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, if you remember, I said most of us are experiencing the majority of our trauma in childhood because we are, you know, we don't have the resources when we are a child to cope with these events. If you're at a playground or a gathering with a friend now and they push you, or they're like, you know, not including you in something, you're like, okay, that's a bit weird, but like, you're not going to be traumatized most likely because you're a grown up now. And you know, the other people's actions aren't a reflection of you. But as a child, everything is a reflection of you. Your brain is so underdeveloped and many times operating in an almost purely subconscious state where you think everything has to do with you. So when someone does something, you think, oh my God, they're doing this because I am imperfect, because they don't love me. This is all my fault. And everything is traumatic, right? So trauma, in my opinion, and studies and research and experience with myself and clients, is very much linked in many ways to childhood. And especially when trauma is in childhood, it actually changes the physical structure of your brain. So what's interesting about that is that the amygdala, so this is the part of your brain that is very much in charge of mobilizing energy whenever there is a traumatic situation. So it makes sense that the amygdala would kind of be the place where like there would be changes when this happened. So the amygdala basically becomes hyperactive, hypersensitive, and it has heightened reactions to perceived threats. So basically what's happening is the amygdala is like, okay, well, I guess since I experienced this trauma, the world must be a dangerous place. And so I really need to be on edge. Like I need to think the worst about everything, because if I assume that everything is dangerous, then I will be safe. Because the world is a dangerous place, right? This is what's happening subconsciously, right? And so the amygdala becomes super, super hyperactive. And the more trauma we experience, because now we're walking around thinking, oh my God, everything is dangerous. Well, that's not a resourceful way of being, is it? And so we're experiencing more trauma and more trauma. And this is just providing evidence to the brain that actually, yeah, the world is a dangerous place. And in doing so, it's kind of like Inception, or which came first, the chicken or the egg? Because you then continue to perpetuate this narrative that you always need to think the worst case scenario. So maybe you've labeled yourself as an anxious person, because your brain is always thinking the worst case scenario. And because your brain has a heightened reaction to any situation, like it doesn't even have to be stressful, but you're perceiving it as stressful. And then your friends are saying, or your family is saying, well, why are you always thinking like that? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, you are a bit crazy, or you're just an anxious person. Like, you just need to chill. Have you ever just thought it's not that big of a deal? Whatever people say, right? You are labeling yourself as this person who has this problem, whose mind isn't working for you, whose body's not working for you, whatever you might be saying to yourself, whatever that narrative is. But what's actually happening is your amygdala, so like your physiology has changed, your amygdala is hyperactive. It is hardwired to start perceiving everything as a threat because of this stored trauma, changing your subconscious view of the world, training you that you need to be this way in order to protect yourself. So you aren't anything. You are you, but you are a result, sort of acting in a way, giving meaning in a way, in response to your physiology, in response to your trauma. So you see what I'm saying? There are people walking around, they are labeling themselves as someone with a problem or someone who's broken. But they're nothing more than this sort of cascade of effects that I'm describing to you here right now. And this reframe is really, really important because when you can let go of the identity piece, then your life will change. Identity is the highest level of the mind. So when you can shift from an identity standpoint, like I am not just an anxious person, I do not have anxiety. When you shift that identity piece, then all of a sudden your habits and your actions and your thoughts will follow seamlessly, and they will be a vote for the person that you want to be. So you have to absolutely look at it from a lens that allows you to separate your identity from I am an anxious person or I have chronic anxiety, right? To I am someone who simply experienced a series of events and had a normal human reaction, right? Like, I'm a human being. I'm gonna emotionally react to things. Like, that's normal. And now that I'm understanding the science behind why I'm now manifesting these behaviors, I can undo this. I can release this and still be whole and still be me and still be healed. So this is important. The other thing that happens from a neurological standpoint is that the hippocampus can and does decrease in size. So your hippocampus is responsible for long-term memory formation and memory retrieval, okay? So think about this. You have the amygdala, which is now hyperactive as a result of your trauma, especially if it was during childhood, meaning that it has a heightened reaction to perceived threats. This is what we modern day and age call anxiety, right? And then the hippocampus has decreased. The part of your brain that is responsible for long-term memory formation and memory retrieval. What? If we want to remember our events with accuracy, right? Remember resources that we've learned that might be helpful for us when we're experiencing anxiety or experiencing fatigue or pain, our brain needs to be healthy and strong. That capacity is diminished when we experience trauma. No, you are not forgetful. No, it is not necessarily all just brain fog. You've experienced trauma and you have a real physiological impact that's impacting your capacity to think logically, to remember the tools that you've studied. Nothing wrong with you, nothing wrong at all. This is a very normal response to experiencing trauma. Again, these are things that you can reverse. Absolutely. You can change your brain. There is clinical data to prove that you can reverse the impact of trauma on the brain and on the body. And this is what I teach. But it's everywhere if you look for it, right? This kind of advice. So I think this is really important because there's so many people who say, oh my God, like I am just like really bad at remembering things, or it's like I study these things and then when I'm having a panic attack, I can't retrieve the information that I know. Like, why can't I do it? Why can't I get it? So I'm explaining the science behind that, and I hope that that makes sense. So here's the other thing. When we experience a traumatic event, the research shows that 90% of what we remember is flawed. What? Right? So what you're even recalling about the event that you experienced is likely highly inaccurate. What you're reliving, letting shape your identity, right? Letting shape your responses, your life, everything is highly inaccurate. Then you know that the hippocampus is compromised. That's the part of the brain that's responsible for long-term memory, compromised. So on top of that, not very accurate. Now, here's the next part of this that's really important. Let's talk about fatigue, because I feel like, you know, we talked a little bit about fatigue. We talked mostly about anxiety. There are two points here that I want to address with you that are freaking important if you are exhausted. Okay. Number one, do you remember when we talked about adrenaline and cortisol? And we talked about like the little video game player who's like, you give him a little boost so that he can jump over the person who's trying to get to them. And that's fantastic. However, you only have so many boosts. Same thing, real life. Every day you're being triggered by a really hyperactive amygdala. So you're constantly perceiving threats. So you're constantly releasing adrenaline and cortisol. You're constantly having experiences that trigger your trauma. So you're releasing adrenaline and cortisol. What happens? You've used all your boosts, right? Meaning you are now what some call experiencing chronic fatigue, or you're wired but tired at night, or some people call it adrenal fatigue. Some people call it burnout. You've used your resources. They're gone. What now, right? Limited energy. So when people come to me and they say, oh my God, I've got chronic fatigue. I can't get out of bed. What the hell? This is what's going on, right? Let's trace it back to the real root cause. It's not to say that supplementation and diet and da-da-da-da, that these factors don't play a part, because they really do. But at the end of the day, if you're eating the right food and you're taking the right supplements and you're doing all those things, but you're continuing to live in this way where you're constantly perceiving threats from an overactive amygdala and you're holding on to this trauma and you don't have the resources to prevent more, so you're just constantly releasing cortisol and adrenaline, right? You're still going to be freaking tired. Nothing is going to last for you because you're not getting to the real root cause of why you're fatigued. This is one reason why you experience chronic fatigue. Here's another reason. And I think this reason is not talked about enough. And it is equally important. The emotional and mental exhaustion of dealing with traumatic memories and emotions, the energy that it requires to carry that and think about it, literally drains you. So I think a lot of times people think that activities like working out or playing with your kids or going out with friends or going on a walk, like that these things will drain you, right? And these things do drain you. But let's talk about the mental load that people are carrying when they are ruminating on their traumas, when they're ruminating on their problems, on their memories, on overactive thoughts of what ifs in the future, right? We talked about this amygdala for those who just came on, right? So we know that the amygdala is hyperactive after trauma. It is constantly projecting the worst case scenario more than the average person. Let's talk about that kind of mental load. Let's talk about the energy that takes. Most of my clients are healing their chronic fatigue for one of those two reasons, if not both. One, because they have been releasing their limited stores of cortisol and adrenaline and they're just burnt out and they need to re-regulate that. Two, the freaking mental load of dealing with these memories and these projections of what if is absolutely burning them out and tearing them down. And this is all internal. This is this whole internal locus of control, because you can control this, right? You don't think you can because you feel like you're trapped in this brain that's just running amok and you're watching it and you're like, how do I control this? But you can control this. And so these are the two biggest reasons why I see people experiencing chronic fatigue. And, you know, these are clients who in many times are doing all the other quote unquote right things. They live the lifestyle, but in their head, running all day long. Okay. So it makes sense then that we need to address at the very inception point of all of this, like what caused this, right? And I think by now, like if you've been watching this whole thing, what causes this, we know, are these traumatic events. These events that are beyond our capacity to cope with, to process, and to release. And by releasing these, not only do we release that energy, which helps us regulate, but I think what's incredible and why this kind of methodology supports sustained healing is that we then develop these tools to prevent this happening in the future. Because that's what everyone wants, right? Like you don't want to just do something that's going to give you relief today. You want that. But what you really want is to have sustained relief, because you're like, I don't want to waste any more of my life feeling like this. You know, like I don't want this to happen again. I know that that's what people want, and that's what this approach gives. So I'm going to give you some tools about how to start doing this. But before I dive into this, I want to remind you that my free trauma release transformation course is live for one more week. It is in the link in my bio. So if this is resonating with you and you're like, I want to release my trauma, this sounds good. This sounds like me. Then go to the link in my bio when this is over and sign up for the course. Not only do you get my program, which is a 5-step video series, which has like all different types of release from the body, you're literally getting free trainings like this from me, free quizzes, free worksheets, free live coaching, free contact with me every day in the Facebook group. Like basically, if you are interested in this work, you should be in that program. Let's talk about how we can do some of this work, because the question that I always get is, okay, this sounds really good, but how do I do it? Yes, I break this down in my trauma release transformation. But let's talk about it within things that you can do today. So one of the keys to healing and releasing this energy inside is lowering the frequency of your brainwaves. So that sounds really complex, but it's actually really easy. So when our brainwaves are kind of operating at a higher frequency, we're more analytical. We're more in that like hyperactive amygdala place. When they move down and they're slower, we are operating on a more subconscious level where we're susceptible to taking in new narratives, to rewriting the stories that are holding us back. My favorite way to do this is to meditate. Okay. So you guys are thinking this is really basic. I've heard of meditation before, and you're right, you have. But I think many people don't truly understand exactly how healing certain types of meditation can be because of the science that I'm giving you here. If you can lower your brain waves, you can slow them down enough, what you do is you become susceptible to accepting a new narrative that helps you process that trauma. So many people are holding on to a very specific narrative of their trauma, right? So-and-so did this to me. Remember we talked about earlier that especially when we're young, we take everything very personally. They did this to me. They did this because of me. This means this about me. So we've created this story, right? This narrative that we're holding on to. And the meaning that we give this situation is informing our thoughts, our beliefs, our actions, and even our identity. It's very difficult to rewrite that story, especially when it's been part of our lives for so long. When we take the time to slow down and to slow down our brainwaves through meditation, we open the door to the subconscious. And what that allows us to do is allows us to rewrite those stories. So it allows us to go back and look at those events and give them a new meaning. And in these moments, we can then start to realize, actually, when we take the emotional charge out of the memory, maybe it was more about them, you know? Or maybe it doesn't matter why they did it. It has nothing to do with me, does it? Because everyone's in charge of their own actions, right? It has nothing to do with me. Whatever it is that you need to accept on a subconscious level, if you can slow down your brain waves enough, you can become susceptible to a new narrative. So always, 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 first and foremost, right? It is about being able to get into the subconscious mind to give new meaning to these narratives, to these stories. And that is one fantastic way to do it. So the next quick tip that I've given here before is binaural beats. Go to Spotify, type in binaural beats theta specifically. And in that time, you can write some affirmations, rewrite the narrative of your story. So theta is the brainwave state where I really want you to be if you are trying to open the subconscious door. So if you put binaural beats on theta and you sit down and you either meditate, you get into a yoga flow, or you rewrite the narrative of what you want your story to be, you write affirmations that you want to pour into your subconscious, these are going to be fantastic ways to take away that emotional charge from the situation. Now, again, you're probably looking at me thinking, this is really simple advice. And what I would say to you is, yes, please don't get swept up in this idea that it has to be so complicated in order to do this work. I was literally saying this earlier to someone who I was working with, that it doesn't have to be complicated. The simpler, the more truth, the better, because we are built with the infrastructure to do this work. Okay. So while I might be saying some of this stuff and you're thinking that seems really accessible, great. Yes, it is. And it's something that you could do today, tomorrow. But the key is being consistent, which most people aren't unless they're led to believe that it's going to be effective for them. And that's what I'm trying to do with what I'm teaching you here today. Another thing that's really important when we are talking about and reflecting on the release of cortisol and adrenaline, as well as the mental fatigue of rewriting or reliving these narratives and the overactive amygdala and all of that, is carving out and time blocking out time to rest. People hate it when I say this, especially my clients, because they're like, I'm busy. Okay. When we're talking about the nervous system, the ultimate healing happens when we rest, and specifically when we sleep. Okay. So the best thing that you can do to release this charge and to increase your capacity to re-regulate these hormones, replenish those stores that have been depleted through the trauma and through all the boosts we've been using to relive this traumatic narrative that we have in our subconscious, is to allow not just physical rest, but emotional rest. We talked about this earlier. You're sitting, not you, someone might be sitting on their phone, scrolling through, looking at the news, looking at the shit that's happening in the world, bombarding the brain with the amount of negative information that we are neurologically not capable of digesting. We have to stop that to heal. Like, we have got to stop doing what's making us sick and take a second so we can replenish and nourish and move forward in a more resourceful way. So it does require this sort of like self-discipline of, I am going to not, you know, pass this time, let's say theoretically 6 p.m., making it up, you do you. I'm not going to look at that shit. I'm not going to look on social. I'm not going to look on the news. I'm going to block all these accounts. I'm going to just do me, right? And this type of rest is the single most healing thing that you can do. This is how you replenish your body. And people say to me like, I lay all the time and I have chronic fatigue and it's not helping me at all. My response to you is, are you resting your mind when you lay? Are you ruminating on negativity? Are you scrolling through negativity? Are you watching crime? Or are you actually resting your mind, right? Because 50% of the reason why people come to me with chronic fatigue is because of the mental exertion of dealing with and carrying the narratives and the meaning that they've given to their traumas. And then having to forecast the worst case scenario. It's all in the mind, but that alone requires so much energy. And also is still going to release the same hormones in the body. So it's not rest if you're sitting there thinking about that stuff. It's not the same. Can you challenge yourself to take that time and not think like that, right? To break the addiction to the adrenaline and the cortisol, and to recognize and see pragmatically and objectively why you might be thinking this way and why you may be carrying the meaning that you've attached to your experiences. And these are the ways by which we allow our body to access its own infrastructure for healing. So it's in everything that I'm teaching you here today is very much do less and allow your body to do more. The more that you're doing up here, right? And the more conscious neocortex part of your brain and part of your mind, the less your body can do. So it is about kind of just loosening the reins a little bit. Okay. So habits are not easy to make and break. I totally get it. We talk a lot about this within my program, but creating structure around this is going to be really important for you. So for those of you who resonated with this work, make sure to join the Trauma Release Transformation. The link is in my bio. For those of you who are interested in working with me personally, make sure to DM me the word HTA. That is my program that I will be launching one more time in 2023. This is the last launch of the year. This is the only way by which I work with clients. And this program is for reprogramming the subconscious mind. You work with me directly on this. And this is if you're looking to really, really reprogram on an identity level so that you can heal what isn't serving you. So that is the mini lecture for today, if you will, the live podcast. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to pop them on here. Last time we had loads of questions or anything that you thought was useful or anything you want me to talk about more. Please say a bit more about the addiction to cortisol and adrenaline. So when we get this hit of adrenaline, right? So again, you've probably experienced this before, like you are in your car and boom, like you feel like you're going to get a car accident and you get this like surge of electricity in your body and your heart rate is going and you're a bit sweaty and whatever. We talked about this. This is mobilizing energy. So it mobilizes all the energy in your body to give you kind of this superhuman like clarity and strength in an emergency situation. So what's really interesting about this addiction is that what people don't realize is that this is the same equivalent of a drug, right? This kind of hit. People take lots of different types of drugs to give them that kind of adrenaline hit feeling. And it's addictive, right? This sort of clarity, eye aware, strength feeling. What happens when people experience trauma and they're sort of stuck in their head about it and they're reliving the trauma, they get addicted to the memories. And this isn't talked about enough. And I made a video about this on TikTok that went a bit viral. And I think people were thinking, wow, this is really interesting. I've never thought of this. Well, every time you think about the memory of your trauma, the physiology of the event also is brought up, right? So it's kind of time-stamped. So let's say you remember back on the playground, something happened, the physiology of the event comes up, meaning the cortisol and the adrenaline is released, meaning what do you get? A hit. You get that hit of energy. And what you don't realize, in the same way that we don't consciously realize when people become addicted to substances, is that we're getting addicted to the physiological state that that brings, right? We're getting addicted to the hit. So no one is talking about the fact that we're getting addicted to our memories via the physiological state of being that is manifesting in tandem with the memory. And I think, again, being conscious and aware that, hey, this is happening. Like, how do I feel in my body when I recall this and I remember this? I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the shift in the state of being, right? And so it's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, this is how we are as human beings. We like energy. We chase energy. We get addicted to altering our state of being. A memory is as powerful as a drug. It releases the same physiological change in the body. Let's talk about this. So that's kind of how I would explain that. So someone says, yes, people definitely become, yeah, exactly. People, and it's so important as well, isn't it? When you say rest the mind, do you mean not think at all or change thoughts to something peaceful? I mean, change thoughts to something peaceful. I mean, ideally, you can do like a guided meditation as part of your routine of resting the mind, or like yoga nidra, which is basically like laying there and getting into the body and doing a body scan, or like a mindfulness sort of. So for example, you could do practice mindfulness while you're doing the dishes, where you don't think, but you just focus on what you're doing. So you're very mindful of your activity, right? So what I mean in resting the mind is that you're taking yourself out of that like little inner dialogue, and you are either directing it mindfully, meditating, getting into the body via movement, walking, yoga, whatever, or just think about something that makes you feel good, because the body doesn't know the difference between what's imagined and what's real. So if you're thinking about memories that make you happy, if you're thinking about someone that you love and you're flooding your body with love, you're releasing over 1,200 biochemical and hormonal responses that are healing to the body. So however you want to, I mean, you know, when my students are in my class, right, in HTA, we literally section time in the day to sit and tap into different frequencies of peace, right? Freedom, joy, calm, and just think about things that make us feel that way. That's all it is. But that shit is healing, right? Because your body doesn't know that that's not really happening. You're drawing that into your reality by focusing your mind on these different ways, different states of being. And where your attention goes, your energy flows. So it's really important to direct your attention to the reality that you want to manifest in your life. The more that you're directing your attention at what you don't want, what do you think you're going to bring into your life? This is the problem. And I talked about this on the last podcast. People know what they don't want, right? Like, you can tell me right now, if I ask every single one of you, what do you not want? You would know. If I asked you, what do you want? Do you know? Do you actually know? Like, if you could, if you don't like where you're at now, and I said, right now, you have a magic wand, what do you want? How quickly could you tell me exactly what you want? Not, I don't want to be tired. Not, I don't want a migraine. Not, I don't want anxiety. But what do you want to think? What do you want to feel? 9.9 times out of 10, my client doesn't know what they want. And where you direct your attention, you direct your energy. So if you're constantly focusing your energy on what you don't want, guess what you're manifesting more of in your life? What you don't want. Even if you're saying, I don't want this, you're manifesting that. You're bringing it into your reality. Start to focus your attention. Start to rest your mind. Focus it on what you do want. And it will literally radically transform your life. Yeah, someone talking about digestive issues. Yeah, this is like a huge, huge reason why people come to me. And if you're struggling with that, you are not alone. Because think about it. Two things. One, when you are experiencing anxiety, so we talked a lot about this cycle, one of the things that suffers at the hand of the mobilization of energy is your digestion. So you know that feeling when someone will say, like, my heart just dropped. Like, something made you feel anxious and your heart drops or your heart sinks. What about when your stomach drops? Anyone felt that? That is your digestion stopping because you are in a traumatic situation and it's mobilizing energy to something else, okay? So you can literally feel when your digestion stops working. This is happening when you experience anxiety. If you are looking to fix your gut, fix what's going on in here. And this is the thing, I was in that boat for so long and I did make massive gains by, like, you know, killing off extra fungus and killing off extra bacteria and eating a certain way and da, da, da. But I was still having bloating. I was still having pain. I was still having these issues. And I was like, what the hell? Like, why am I taking all the right supplements and doing all the right things and still in this, like, situation, right? And it wasn't until I did this work that I healed. And now I've taught so many other people to do this and to heal their guts, because you shouldn't be, quote unquote, healing your gut for years. This is ridiculous, right? You can heal much faster than that if you're pairing the work that you're doing on the physical level with what's going on in your mind. And you're looking at the neurology of all of this that we're talking about and the impact, the direct freaking impact that the mind has on the gut. Come on, like, you know, this is becoming a common narrative now, but it should be at the forefront of the work you're doing if you're trying to heal your gut. And I'm not even just saying this to one specific person. I mean this to everyone, you know, including myself. Not just the anecdotal, ooh, the mind or the brain, gut brain connection, not anecdotally, like exactly as the way that I've spelled it out to you today. It's so freaking important and it needs to be at the forefront of the work that you're doing. So if you're struggling with that, you're not alone. So someone said, how to heal when physical traumatic brain injury and emotional trauma are interconnected with many overlapping symptoms. So this is a really broad question in the sense that I totally get why you wouldn't want to put like details about the injury, but like you might have to DM me because it's like, what was the injury? And what I would say is emotional trauma is not unique in the sense that, of course, that's what we're talking about here today. And so many people are struggling with that. And so that absolutely can be healed and released in the way that we're talking about. And actually, emotional trauma and physical trauma are interacting and overlapping. So when you release this energy that isn't serving you and you flood the body with resourceful hormones, right? And biochemical reactions and all of that, then through doing that work to release the trauma and through doing that work to rewire, it has that knock-on effect on the physical symptoms that you're experiencing. And this is why my clients see such a huge impact and such a huge change, right, in their physical symptoms, because we're working on this level. So I think you should take solace in the fact that, yes, you're recognizing that perhaps emotional trauma is linked to your physical symptoms. But actually, if you are addressing these emotional traumas and this energy and releasing it, your physical symptoms will in turn start to really dissipate. So I consider that like the root cause of so many physical symptoms. Someone said, I've healed a lot of my chronic pain, but I'm still very tired. Do I need to do more healing or do I need to be patient? So it just depends. I mean, we're all always healing. That's cliche. But yes, you should get to a point where you feel good enough to get up and go about your day and all of that stuff. So that type of burnout that I was describing earlier, that so many of my clients come in with, just like complete exhaustion, perhaps wired but tired, but ultimately it's the mental fatigue of carrying the memories around, as well as this sort of depleting these limited resources of, for example, adrenaline and cortisol. It takes time to replete, to fully get back, right? Because we use these limited resources and then we start to regulate and our body's like, cool. Usually what happens when we start to regulate is we get more tired, right? Because we're now finally resting for the first time in a long time. And so our body's really going to lean into that. It's going to be like, okay, now we need to really, really rest so we can heal. So you're going to feel more tired before you feel better. And yes, it's going to take some time. How long is it going to take? I don't know. It depends on your situation, but it could take up to a year. Now, you should start to see big results within a month or two of doing this regulatory work. But I would say true healing can take you up to a year, but you should be able to get out of bed and do much more within a few months of this work. But yes, there is an element of patience there. It takes time. It definitely does. But also, I just want to commend you on you already like reversing so much of your chronic pain, because that's incredible. Yes. In terms of the menstrual cycle, it's massively impacted by stress in general. And my last podcast is all about the female cycle and what happens specifically to your hormones when you experience stress. So if you are interested in that specific topic, make sure to listen to my last podcast. It's like an hour and a half of this, and it's really, I think, really helpful. So someone says, so true on gut. I had this as a child every day. Trauma brought it back via my stomach. Yeah, definitely. And yeah, there's a lot in that. But the good thing is, like, you know, when you release that, you should release those physical symptoms. So there is so much hope in that. And I think making the connection and having that awareness is like the first step there. So someone said, could you please talk about somatic release, please? So if you're interested in somatic release, make sure as well to join my free program, the Trauma Release Transformation. It's live for a week. The link is in my bio. So basically, what somatic, which means of the body, releases, meaning really, is it's releasing these emotional memories and this energy and trauma from the body. So what happens is when we experience these events, they, unless they're processed and released, which is, you know, when we have the tools to do so, it gets stored in our body, right? We talked about this, and this is what becomes trauma. We weren't able to deal with it. So it gets pushed down and stored in the body. Now we know that, for example, when we are in this fight flight state, when we're experiencing trauma, our body tenses up. And if we're continuing to relive this trauma and we're stuck in this place, our body stays really tense, and especially in our hip area. So people who have been experiencing trauma often will have tight hips, painful hips, pelvic pain, pain in their thighs, pain in their lower back. These are all signs of holding trauma and tension in the lower body. And so we can start to release this by literally moving our body in ways that releases the energy that's being stored there. So it's pretty amazing. And what my goal is in my life is to prove to you that you can not only self-heal, but you can do it in a way that is gentle and full of ease. The narrative that you have to go back and relive and talk through and unwrap and unpack all your trauma is outdated and inaccurate. You don't need to do that in order to release what isn't serving you. You don't need to re-traumatize yourself to release what isn't serving you. And you don't have to go through so much freaking pain to do it. You don't. You know, for so long, the traditional narrative was that you did. And I think what we realized is this was really traumatizing people to have to go back and talk through all of what's happened to them and put their nervous system through memories that it believed were so freaking real. And there are so many tools out there, including somatic work, which imagine you get to release this trauma by moving your body in certain ways without having to talk about it. I'm not saying talking is bad. We talk in my programs as well. But I want to bring you ways that feel good for you. Have you ever leaned into a stretch and it's just like felt so good? You're like, I just want to lay here. Like it feels amazing, right? That is you intuitively knowing that that is releasing what isn't serving you. So you can start doing this work by literally doing different like hip stretches. You can Google like somatic healing for trauma. You can join my free program and I will give you the exact tools to do it. But you know, I'm not the only one, right? I'm not going to pretend. So this is a fantastic way to start releasing what isn't serving you. And I think everyone should do it. Okay. So what about the case when you think about something which is not actually a threat, but my body automatically starts to stress response? Yeah. So our body doesn't know the difference between what is imagined and what is real. So if you think about something, even though it's not really happening, your body is going to react as though it's really happening physiologically. And this is why our mind is so important. This is why our mind is so powerful, right? Because like you can literally think about healing things and your body will start to heal. You don't believe me? Go online and look up the literature of piano players and basketball players. Or the placebo effect, right? People who believe things or practice things in their mind and it had a physiological impact on their body. If you are imagining the worst case scenario because you have an overactive amygdala because of trauma, right? Or you are stuck in a cycle of addiction to past memories and traumas and the narratives you've created around it, your body is consistently experiencing those memories or those thoughts as if they are reality in the present moment. Your unconscious mind is your body, and your body is unconscious. So by virtue of being unconscious, it doesn't understand time. What does this mean? If you think about something, it thinks it's happening now. This is really important. When you think about something, your body, which is your unconscious mind, thinks it's happening now. What does that mean? Well, if you're projecting the worst case scenario, your unconscious mind is like, this is happening right now. Shit, right? If you're projecting the best case scenario, your unconscious mind is like, this is happening right now. Amazing. Whatever it is that you are ruminating on, your body thinks it's happening and will mobilize resources accordingly. If you want to heal, the best thing you can do is ruminate on healing things. Obsess about healing. Stop thinking about what you don't want and start thinking about what you do want. You can look it up. There are very real physiological changes in the body that happen when you think about what you want, when you think about healing, when you think about love, when you think all the things that are healing to the body. So it's a really good question and it's really important. Rosie says, I believe that so much. Unpacking everything from beginning can cause more damage. I just like agree with that so much. So, okay, I'm over time now. But I just want to say thank you on both platforms to everyone who showed up for my live podcast training. I really appreciate you being here and just connecting with you and doing the work. It is so important for us to be changing the narrative, because when you start to heal yourself, you heal others, right? Because you start to be able to demonstrate that this is possible. And when people can see it with their own eyes, you make it possible for them. So it's really important that we're having these conversations. We are sharing the healing and what's working. And we're rewriting the narrative about what it takes to heal these chronic conditions because it's fully possible. My podcast is That Healing Feeling for those who ask. So all of my things are That Healing Feeling to make it really easy to find. If you haven't subscribed to the Trauma Release Program, which is free, go to the link in my bio because everything I talked about today in terms of how to actually do this work is in there. If you want to get on the waitlist for my program, the Health Transformation Accelerator, DM me HTA and I will send you the link to get on the waitlist. We are going to be inviting the waitlisters to a special online event with just me, where I'm going to do some live coaching with just the HTA waitlisters, as well as offer a special discount to the program. So that's going to be the first time we do that. It's a very special event. We're going all out for it. So if you're really interested in taking this to the next level, then make sure to DM me that and make sure to stick around because I love having you here and I love having these conversations. And I hope that in some capacity, this flipped the narrative a little bit for you and gave you the hope that you ultimately need in order to heal and get your life back. Thank you so much for being here.